Pass Marseille. We see an interesting thing here. The fact, Marseille, as we know, are the journeys of Bnei Israel, the so-called wanderings in the Midbar that they did for 40 years. But we also see the amazing Rachmanis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One would think that when the Gezeira of these wanderings was made, it would be hundreds of different trips, leaving their encampments and camping again in the Midbar. And yet, what do we see? We see that in totality, there are 42 Masos mentioned in the parasha here. And yet, as Rashi brings down from Chazal, the first 14 was in the first year. And not only that, the Ramban in Parshas Bo says that the first 9 was in the first month till Elul. And the last 8 was all in the last year that they wandered. So imagine, you already have 22, leaving you 20 for the rest of the 20 years, for the rest of the 38 years. And watch this. As we know, Rashi brings down from Chazal in Parshas Dvorim, before Chamishi, that 19 years they were in one place, in Kadesh, after the sin of the Meraglim. That means 19 left over a space of 19 years. Incredible. When we really examine what happened here. Also, we know that the 42 Masos, as it brings down in Farshei Shulchan Aruch, Mishneh Berurah, and others, the minhag, that when we learn the parasha, we don't break it up, but we go straight through till Shlishi, in order that the shame of Membezosios, 42 lettered, name of Hashem, should not be stopped in the middle. And these are the Masos which correspond to that Shem Hashem. And we notice that it says in the first Pasuk, Eile Masei B'nei Yisrael Asher Yatzu Me'eretz Mitzrayim Nitzavot Zom B'yad Moshe V'yad Om. As the Rosh Hashiva Shlita points out, one would think that it would say these journeys of Bnei Israel to go to Eretz Israel. Of course, we know they're going out of Mitzrayim, and it mentions that point of the going out of Mitzrayim. And that is to teach us that this was a process to go out of the Memtes Sha'arei Tuma, the 49 Madregas of Tuma that they were written in Mitzrayim, as we know from the Zohar. And if Chas V'Shalom they went to the 50th, it would have been the point of no return. And this was a process that they needed. It were ideally, we would have hoped that it should have been in a short amount of time that they were able to do that. As by Matan Torah, for a short period to the sin of the Egel, it could have been like that. The end of Golis completely. But it so happened that even to get at Eretz Yisrael, they needed these 49 Masos to get out of the 49 Madregas of Tuma completely that they were in Mitzrayim. Those thought processes, that kind of way of living in Mitzrayim that had influenced them, many of them at least. And therefore, you might tell me now, but what do you mean? We just said it was 42, what do you mean 49? And as the Rosh Hashiva Shlita pointed out, if you remember in Parshas Chukas, by the Misa of Aaron, it brought there that Bnei Israel went back They were frightened when they lost the Anani HaKavod at that time, and Amalek was going to oppose them. That Muhammad with Amalek then, and therefore they wanted to turn back. And as Rashi brings from Chazal, that they turned back 7 masos. Those 7 plus 42 is at 49. They again had to need this. And we can say, of course, you're going to say, but it was going back. But don't forget, after they went back, they were brought back forwards again. They needed again these 7 masos. And Shevet Levi went after them. And there was a civil war. And they returned, going back. And that's the point of these 49 that we're mentioning now. In Pasuk Beis, we see it says, Vayichtov Moshe es motzoehem lemaseihem al pi Hashem, ve'ele maseihem lemotzoehem. So we can ask, why do we need both, Lishonos? Motzoehem lemaseihem, and then turning it around, maseihem lemotzoehem. Lani azdaiti, I would say, that what the Torah wants to teach us is that at times, in order to go out, motzoehem, to go out from the madrege that you are in a positive sense, you have to get out of it in order to travel lemaseihem, for their travelings or for anyone's travelings, to go forward, whether it's physical or spiritual. You have to first go out, get out of the madrege you're in, to go further in your travelings. And at times, it's the reverse. In order to go out of the madrege you are in, you have to travel, go somewhere else. As the Rambam says, even to a midbar, if chas v'sholom, the surroundings around you, the influences are negative, that you must leave. So at times, there has to be the leaving before you can get out of the madrega you're in order that you should improve and get better. And as Rosh Hashanah points out, we notice in this pasuk, Ve'ele b'gematria 42, those 42 travelings that we mentioned before, that's needed in order to reach the madrega, to fulfill Hashem's will the way He wants you to. And in Pasuk Aleph, of course, it says Ela without the Vav, which would be 36. And that we can say is the splitting up of the first 6 travelings till Sheni as a unit, a whole, that was needed separate from those, to have a certain completion that is separate in singularly from the others, till the Yam Suf again they came to by Sheni. And the first journey mentioned in Pasuk Hei, Meramses, and encamping at Sukkos, and Rosh Hashiva Shlita points out that, as we know, in Parshas Bo, the Pasuk says that this going out of Mitzrayim was the end of the 430 years from the Bris Bein Absorim, when Hashem mentioned to Avraham Avinu about the Golus. And that's the gematria of Ramses, going out finally from that long shibud and encamping in Sukkos, the start of the Shechina, when the Shechina is not in the Beis HaMikdash yet, but in Sukkos, whether they were symbolized the Anani HaKavod, when the war, as the Mishkan was finally built, and further on in Shiloh, Noyiv the Givon, for a total of 480 years from the Yetzias Mitzrayim till the permanent Beis HaMikdash was built. And that's why Sukkot, which is not a permanent building, hut, so to speak, is the gematria, 480, of course, from Yetzias Mitzrayim till the Binyan Beis HaMikdash in Eretz Yisrael. It seems strange that Pasuk Lamed Tes and Mem have between them a Samech, which symbolizes, of course, a Parsha Stuma, closed Parsha, as opposed to a Pei, which is a Psucha, open. But why there should be a break when it seems like it's all one? The Mitzvah Aaron, as we mentioned before, and the Knaini hearing about it, and that problem. But as the Rosh Hashiva points out in Kol Dodi, how we can say that Chazal that Rashi mentions in Chukas that we talked about, that's the Zemes here, this break. There was a break because of the Misa of Aaron in the travelings here, their retreat backwards till they were brought back again. That's what the symbol of the Samach represents. After Shlishi, we see the Tzivui of Hashem that they should make sure they chase out the Goyim from Eretz Yisrael, that they shouldn't influence them. Hashem gave them Eretz Yisrael for themselves to be away from those foreign influences so they can just serve Hashem completely the way they should. And how it says, and if they don't chas v'shalom, what it can cause. And yet we see in Tanakh, in Shoftim, how Hashem planned that some of the goyim would remain there, but not so some, in order to be a prod for them if they misbehave, so to speak. So we can ask, doesn't that seem like a stira? No, not at all. What Hashem wants you to do, you do. You carry out. You don't go b'kapsha d'rachmana like the Gemara's lashon. You don't go Hashem's plans. You don't get involved. That's not your job. Your job is to follow what you have to do, what Hashem wants you to do. If, for whatever reason, Hashem in His infinite wisdom decides that your plans should not be carried out, that's for Him to decide. And of course, as we know, it's for our best. And the Ben Benoshel Kal V'Chomer, when we know the Gemara condition, that as long as you wanted to do fully the will of Hashem and beyond your control for whatever reason it was not carried out, you get the credit exactly the way you had that intention, as if exactly you did it the way you wanted to, in its fullest sense, to fulfill the will of Hashem completely. So what's there to worry about? You'll get the exact same credit. Hashem does what he has to do, you do your job. After Revi, the Chumash mentions the Nesiim that were appointed to oversee the Chalukas Haaretz. And we notice an interesting thing, that all the Nesiim are basically mentioned with the same expression, L'mate b'nei don nosi, the Lashon nosi, and also B'nai, except for three. Binyamin does not mention B'nai or Nasi. Yehuda is not mentioned, either of them. And B'nai Shimon is only mentioned B'nai, but not Nasi. And the Rosh Hashiva Shlita points out beautifully that we can say Pshat here is that for Yehuda and Binyamin, it doesn't mention B'nai, because B'nai connotes for their own shavit, that the nesius. And nasi connotes for nesius, as opposed, for instance, to melech, which is all over Klal Yisrael. And that's what it's pointing out here. Yehuda and Binyamin, as we know, came the Malachim. The Malachim that was supposed to be Binyamin, Shaul, for instance. Yehuda, of course, we know the Malchi Yehuda, not the Malchi Aseres HaShvatim, which were not done correctly. And therefore, that's what it's telling us. That they, these Shvatim, became over all Klal Yisrael, not for the Shevet alone. From these Shvatim came the Melech for all Yisrael, not just part of them. And also, the Bnei Shimon. The Bnei Shimon, they were Nasi for themselves. They had a Nasi, Bnei, that's why Bnei for themselves. But it wasn't a Nasi, first of all, as the others. Because as we know, as Rashi brings in Parshas Vezos, a bracha from Chazal, that they got from the chelek of other one, Yehuda, not themselves, a chelek in that way from the outset. It was from the other one, another sheaf, that they took from, so to speak. And therefore also we notice another thing. There's a Yalkut that says from all the Shvatim, each one during the time of the Shoftim had a Shofet for Klal Yisrael, except Shimon. And of course, as we know, and as Rashi brings, for instance, by the Shevet Shimon, by the Brachas, the fact, the Maisa Pa'or, as we know what happened, as we learned. After Chamishi talks about the Ori Halavim, the 48 cities that were cities of refuge, of Ori Miklat. And of course we have to understand, if there were a total of 48, as the Pasuk says in Pasuk Vav, why split it up 6 and 42? And of course, we know from the Gemara Makis that the split is to show that there were two differences between them. One was the fact that those six were Niklat, the Rotzeach, whether he knew he was in the cities or not. It didn't matter if he knew or not whether he was there in one of the cities of refuge, it had an effect and he was not allowed to be killed. A second difference was, of course, meaning that the other ones would only be Niklat if he knew he was in a city of refuge, one of the other 42. The second difference is the fact that in the six cities of refuge, there was no rental required from the Roseah, so to speak. When you rent an apartment or whatever, you pay rent. Whereas in the other 42, Schar was allowed to be taken from the Roseach for the time he lived there. After Shishi, when the Torah continues speaking about the Ori Mikla, it uses the expression Lachem, for you. The Ori Miklat are for you. Of course, the Gemara darshans the Lachem, but again, there's more than one. So what is that for? And Rosh Hashiva in Kol Dodi explains that the Lechem is to teach you that don't think it's somebody else's problem. Don't think it's the Rotzeach's problem alone and the Yorei Miklat is just for him. One, we all have to look at it as if our own problem also. To take that responsibility, to understand why it is happening. HaRachman Litzlan, as the Mishnah says, that Shrichus Domim leads to Golus. Why? Because it could very well be that those who understand anew, teachers, Chaverim, whatever it is, if they didn't do what they had to do to teach when they saw the opportunity to teach the Rotzchem that they could have influenced and to better their ways, to understand the seriousness of Ritzicha, to understand that human life is not cheap, how careful one has to be, even to Chas v'Sholom accidentally kill someone, the gravity of it. Not to think that because it was accidental, no, Chas v'Sholom. That's what we have to understand. That is the Lochem. It's for each and every one of us to put ourselves in the shoes of the Ratzeach, Rachman Islam. And of course, it goes without saying, if we do what we have to do, okay, then we're exempt. We are not taken to task for it. And of course, we also know Bechir is always given. The Rotzeach, whether accidental or intentional, or of course if it's unintentional, he didn't have that kavana. But the point is why he was laxed, as we have to understand every even accidental aveira chas v'shalom, the gravity of that. And therefore each still is taken to task for whatever part they had. And if we all have that proper fear of even an accidental aveira, we would never come to chas v'shalom, certainly an intentional one, and we won't even come to the accidental one. As one of the famous stories with the Vilna Goyen, that it was told that he thought that by accident he moved a muksa on Shabbos and fainted. And those around him found out that it was not true, it was not a muksa, and that's how they revived him, telling the Rebbe that no, we see that it was not muksa. On a possibility of the shogeg moving above a muksa on Shabbos caused the Goyim to faint. That is the madrega we all have to reach. The fear of even chas v'sholom, an accidental aveira, the zrizus needed to avoid any possibility of one, which brings to mind another maisa of the stifle goyim zatzal. That it's told that they came, a group, and was talking about telling the Bachrim and the Yeshiva that it was a doubt that by accident maybe the tailor that was sewing the buttons on the coats using thread by accident had linen thread with the woolen garments, of course, would be chatnis. And the stifle goyim heard and immediately ripped up all his buttons from the coat, ripped them off. Can you understand that? What would people do? Talking investigating, thinking about that maybe it will come to them to take off their coat at least or whatever. The stifler in a split second, figuring, knowing that it would take longer to undo the buttons and take off his coat, the fastest way, just rip them off. Who knows, maybe he only had one or two buttons anyway. But whatever it was the quickest way, immediately thought of, split second, to avoid any possible aveda. That's the madregas that we have to strive for and reach. Before Shvi, we see an interesting expression used for polluting the land with bloodshed. It says, "Velo sachanifu esoretz, ki adam hu yachanif esoretz." As we know in general, chanif is a word that's used for flattery, to chan for someone. What is it being used here as a polluting, to make tummy? So the Rosh Hashiva, Zatzal, the Meishin, the Rosh Meishin explains beautifully. We know the, so to speak, bleeding heart liberal. We see in our own time also that many times they have more concern for the perpetrator of the crime than the victim himself. We see in the secular non-Torah world that in order to preserve their idea of society, civilization, their way of living, even if it's against the Torah, that it, in their judgment, they can even legislate killing. That it's a mitzvah to kill. The individual that wants to go against and ruin their way of life, their way of society, to the extreme, as we saw by Hitler Yimach Shemai. Anyone who got in his way for his dictatorial dream, to be killed, with all his cohorts joining him in this idea. And it comes in not so subtle ways as that, and in more subtle ways. Whether it's, so to speak, a civilized society that justifies a war, or even on an individual level, for anyone who goes against their way of living. Not Hashem's way, but their way. Whether it even might come to a society where the elderly, it's better for them not to live anymore, so they deem fit. Or a mentally handicapped person, chas v'sholom, or a terminally ill person, if they see fit that it's better to take them, so to speak, out of their misery. Rahmana Zitlan, this is the way that you can have legalized murder, which is not the Torah's way. The Torah's way is that each individual has an importance. Each individual has a goal here to teach and to be learned from. Even an imbecile, so to speak, can be learned a lesson from, to teach us how to be kind, how to care for the other person. How each person Hashem sees fit, and that his goal in life, that was his goal, that we should have the opportunity to do chesed for him. And he's equal to the biggest tzaddikim because of it, as long as he does everything he's capable of doing. And that's why it's even a mitzvah to be Mechal Shabbos, to save that person's life. That's the difference between the Torah and not Torah world. So anyone who goes along with such ideas, who flatters that kind of society, land, ha'oretz, which is symbolized ha'oretz, the land, the society, is actually flattering, yachanif, lo sachanifu. That's how it's applied here. That's what we have to understand. The non-Torah world sees man as being subordinate to the land, to the society that they want. Whereas the Torah understands that the land is subordinate to man. That every life is precious, unless Chas V'Shalom becomes a cancer, like a Hitler Yimach Shamayim. That if it's not stopped, it's not the society that we're talking about. It's human life itself that he wants to eradicate, get rid of. So we have to stop that cancer. These individuals, Rishayim, that want to kill out others, that want to kill out human life, the ones that are following Hashem. That's the only time we have a mitzvah of Ritzicha. And it's not Ritzicha. It's the biggest life-saving of the world at large, as Hashem taught us in the Torah.